Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Those are the words from Psalm 98, and they are, as I understand it, the words that inspired Isaac Watts back in the early 1700s to create the Christian hymn that we just sang together, Joy to the World. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. If ever there was a year in which our world was in need of greater joy, at least in my lifetime, it seems that it would be this year. As we have observed over these last weeks, we live in a time when sadness and frustration abound. And so how can we find joy this Christmas season? Joy great enough to overcome the sadness caused by COVID. Joy great enough to overcome the frustration bound up in our politics. Joy great enough to overcome the sorrows that accompanies our personal tragedies. Well, there is a place that such joy can be found. And I'm going to show it to you today. But before I do that, let's make sure that we all understand what I mean by joy. Now, some like to define joy by actually contrasting it with happiness. In these cases, joy is often described as something that's more lasting, more durable, less dependent on circumstances than happiness is. And that's all well and good, and that can be useful. Although I'm not sure that that always reflects how many of us actually use those words in our everyday lives. Other times, joy is actually described as if it were a decision, a choice that we make. One person I was reading said, joy is choosing to respond to external circumstances with inner contentment and satisfaction. But calling joy a choice doesn't quite seem right to me. Because joy is a feeling. It is something that we experience. And yes, there are ways that we can feed it, in different ways that we can express it, in ways that we can nurture it. But at its heart, it is something that we feel. And so I tend to agree with pastor and theologian John Piper, who has described it this way. Christian joy is a good feeling in the soul, produced by the Holy Spirit, as he causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world. This morning, Isaac and Jocelyn and their kids reminded us that this is the fourth Sunday of Advent. And they reminded us, of course, that the word Advent means coming, the coming of God into our world as a baby. A baby who was born to save us from our sins, a baby who was born to be our Prince of Peace, a baby who is the reason for our deepest joy. And so this morning, we're going to look at another piece of Jesus' birth story. And we're going to learn why Jesus should be our deepest joy. And what we can do to nurture the deep joy that we can find in him. So if you've got a Bible with you or a Bible app on your phone or tablet, would encourage you to open up to Luke chapter 2 if you want to follow along. Luke chapter 2. Now, as Mary was giving birth to her baby on that quiet, lonely night there in Bethlehem, it probably seemed to her and Joseph that their son's arrival would go unnoticed. I mean, yes, the angel had announced to both of them separately that this child who'd been conceived by the Holy Spirit and was to be born to a virgin had told them that this child was coming. But on the night of his birth, no one but Joseph was there to hold Mary's hand, to comfort her, to assist her. Only a handful of animals were witnesses to the arrival of this little baby born to this young mother and her faithful husband. No one to congratulate them. No one to join in celebrating this moment. No one to share this joy with, at least at first. But this event was too important, too special, too world-changing to go by unnoticed. And while the world busied itself with other concerns, the heavens rejoiced that the Son of God, who had taken on human flesh and grown in Mary's womb, had now finally been born. But rather than declaring this glorious news to kings or to princes, to the wealthy or to the famous, to the priests or to the scribes, the angelic hosts of heaven announced it to a group of shepherds who are out in their fields watching over their sheep. Look at verse 8 in Luke 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And that makes total sense to me. I'm sure that I would be terrified as well. But fear is not the emotional response that the angel was intending to elicit from these shepherds. His appearance and the news that he had for them was intended to provoke joy, not panic, in their hearts. Verse 10, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heavens, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." For centuries and centuries, the Jews, including these shepherds, had been waiting for the arrival of Messiah. A great rescuer king who would be a descendant of King David and who, like him, would be born in the city of Bethlehem. And the announcement of his birth, the news of his arrival, was reason for great joy for all the Jewish nation and ultimately for the world. In fact, this news was so good and so important that the hosts of heaven lit up the hillside as they declared the glory of God. And it is what the shepherds will do in response to all of this that are lessons to us about joy. They will show us what joy looks like and how to nurture the kind of joy that our hearts are desperately longing for. And so let's look at what they did and what it can teach us. Verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And so the first of what will be three joy responses that we are going to see from the shepherds was to go and see this thing that had happened. So the shepherds, they went in search of the stable where Mary had given birth to Jesus. Now remember, it is dark out, it is the middle of the night, but these shepherds just descend on the little town of Bethlehem, searching for a newborn child who is sleeping in a manger, in an animal feeding trough. This response to the joy of hearing this news, to go and see, to go and learn more, is also a way to develop and nurture joy. This is one of the really wonderful things about joy when we understand it. See, our response to joy can also generate joy. Let me show you what I mean. Are you looking to experience greater joy this Christmas season? The good news that the angels gave to these shepherds should also be good news of great joy to us. The child that was born to Mary all those years ago in the city of Bethlehem, in the city of David, is our Savior, Jesus, our Messiah. If you are yearning for greater joy this Christmas season, then lean into that truth. Go and see. Go and learn more about Jesus. The more you learn about Jesus, the more you read about him in the Gospels, the more you meditate on his teaching, the more you reflect on the riches of his promises to us, the more you speak to him in prayer, the greater joy you will feel, and the greater joy you will be filled with. If you want more joy in your life, go and learn more about Jesus. Read the scriptures. Learn from others who know Jesus deeply. I've had some rather tough moments over these last few months. I know that many of you have as well. In addition to regular Bible reading and prayer, there have been two things in particular that have nurtured profound joy in my heart. And the first has actually been this book. It's called The Emblems of the Infinite King, written by Ryan Lister. Ryan Lister is actually a theology professor at Western Seminary. And this book uses creative storytelling to teach us about the glory and about the goodness of God. And I got to tell you, this book is good, and the artwork in it is beautiful. But it's actually been the audio version of this book that has generated the most joy in my heart this Christmas season. And it's really cool because it's available free as a podcast, the audio version of it. I was actually listening to it for the first time on Thanksgiving morning while I was standing in my driveway digging a ditch. And it made me weep with joy. I can't promise you that you're going to have the same experience with this book as I have. But what I am certain of is that if you commit yourself to going and seeing, to going and learning more about Jesus, that effort is going to generate greater joy in your life. As for the second thing that has generated significant joy in my heart this Christmas season, you got to come back on Christmas Eve to find out. So I'm going to show you then, seriously. Thursday, 6 o'clock, if you can make it. But let's get back to the shepherds. The shepherds' first joy response was to go and see. And this actually led to their second joy response. And so let's pick up the story in verse 16. So the shepherds, hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. So the shepherd's second joy response was to share their joyful news with others. This was such good, incredible news that they could not keep it to themselves. And so they spread the word about the angel's announcement and Jesus' birth to the rest of the people in the town of Bethlehem. And so here again, we see how responding to joy can generate even greater joy. See, when we share with others what has brought us joy, our joy in that thing only further increases. Our joy response can also be a joy generator. In fact, think about this. You know from experience that this is actually true. If you're a fisherman and you catch a giant fish, if you're a hunter and you shoot a beautiful buck, if you're a shopper and you get a screaming deal, something on sale, if you're a collector, if you're somebody who loves collecting and you add to your collection, the joy that you have in finding that fish, in finding that buck, in finding that sale item or that collectible is further heightened when you tell your buddies about it, when you show it to your spouse, when you post a picture of it on Instagram or on Facebook. Our joy in something increases when we share the object of our joy with others. Are you looking for greater joy this Christmas season? One way to generate greater joy in your own hearts this Christmas is to share with others the joy that you already have in Jesus. Talk to your children or your grandchildren about the birth story of Jesus. If you do that, your joy will also grow. Share with a neighbor why you celebrate Christmas like you do, and your joy will also grow. Write a Christmas letter to your friends that includes stories of God's faithfulness to you in the midst of this challenging year, and your joy will also grow. Are you looking for greater joy this Christmas? Tell others about the joy you have in Jesus. We have one more joy response from the shepherds. Verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they'd seen and heard, and for just as they'd been told. Now, isn't that wonderful? Not only do the shepherds tell the people of Bethlehem about the joy that the birth of this child has brought to them, they also go and tell God about it. They're worshiping. They glorify and praise God for all the things that they had heard and seen. Worshiping and praising God is not just a joy response. It's also a joy generator. In fact, sometimes when our joy is weak, or it's on the verge of failing, or just completely giving out, worshiping God can rekindle, can nourish, can even resurrect the joy that we have in Christ. That's why, as followers of Jesus, we are instructed, we are actually commanded to continue gathering to worship God together. It's not just that this is a Christian duty. It is also a means by which we nurture our joy and our delight in God. Worshiping God, as much as any of the other joy responses that we've looked at, is also a supercharged joy generator. Are you looking for greater joy this Christmas? If you are, worship God. Glorify and praise Him for all the things that you have heard and seen. My friends, our deepest joy is found in Jesus, in His birth, and in His life, and in His ministry, and in His death, and in his resurrection, and in his ascension, and in his promised return. There is great, indestructible joy to be found in Jesus Messiah, our true rescuer King. Joy that is greater than pandemic. Joy that is greater than political chaos. Joy that is greater than social turmoil. Joy that is greater than personal tragedy. Joy that is greater than even sickness and death. Jesus, the child born to Mary, the infant conceived by the Holy Spirit, the newborn announced by the angels, the little one who was visited and worshiped by shepherds, is none other than God who became one of us. Eternal Son who took on mortal flesh so that he could show us and teach us what it means to be truly human and then die in our place for our sins. He came to love us and to lead us and to reconcile us back to our Heavenly Father and to fill us with the Holy Spirit. And so, my friends, yes, you have reason for joy. Great joy that is for all people. And if you, like me, have found that joy is a little bit harder to find this Christmas, not because Jesus is any less, but because the weight and the brokenness of the world seems heavier and harder than ever, join me in pursuing our joy in Jesus by continuing to learn more about him, by sharing this joy with others, and continuing to join with us as we continue to worship God together. Let me pray. Father, we worship and thank you. We praise you for sending your Son to be our true joy. Jesus, we bow before you as our true rescuer King, recognizing our dire need for you and pledging our allegiance to you as the one who reconciles us to God and the one who fills our heart with the joy that we so desperately need. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to renew our hearts again with the wonder of the Advent season, that we would worship and celebrate the goodness of our God, the joy of our salvation, and the true peace that we have in Jesus, the deep joy that we can only truly find in him. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand for the blessing, and then you'll be dismissed. Thank you for joining us as we worship God together. Two things: Christmas Eve service, Thursday, 6 o'clock. Hope you can join us. And the second thing, a small gift from my family to you guys. We have homemade granola, all individually carefully bagged, out by the probably on the table out by the main entrance there. We'd love to have you take some and take it home. A little way for us to just, thank you for letting us be part of this church family here at DFBC. We love being here, and we love you guys. Here's a blessing. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And you have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And because you have received him, because you have believed in his holy name, you have become the children of God. Amen. You are dismissed.